Chapter 5. Society.
No man is an island, wrote the English poet John Donne. Hell is other people, wrote the French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. Most of human history was an attempt to reconcile these two seemingly irreconcilable truths. Technically speaking, a human being could survive on his own. He could hunt for food, construct shelter, and if not reproduce, at least create a reasonable facsimile of a mate using twigs, branches, and a couple of coconuts. But we were social creatures who functioned best living in close proximity to one another, and living in groups vastly improved both our safety and our gossip. So we banded together into communities governed by shared sets of morals and values. Such a group was referred to as a society. It was the central organizing unit of our civilization and the catch-all scapegoat for any part of your life that didn't quite work out the way you thought it would. A society was simultaneously one unified mass and a large collection of individuals. Therein lay the tension. For to be part of a group was to exchange certain individual freedoms for certain other collective benefits. These benefits derived largely from economies of scale. A city of 5 million people is far better equipped to construct, say, a working mass transit system than an individual family of four. It just is. But in exchange for the mass transit system, each member of society was expected to adhere to rules regarding its use, i.e. don't masturbate on it. Such harsh, at times maddeningly frustrating trade-offs were the basis of the social contract, a document that differed from other contracts only in that you had no choice but to enter it and it didn't exist. The social contract provided a framework in which human interaction could occur on a reasonably fair basis. For example, let's say person A owned a slave that person B wanted. Were they not inhabitants of a civil society governed by law, person B could have simply stolen person A's slave through brute force. Such an existence would have been cruel and terrifying for all parties involved, person A and person B. But for members of a society, violence was forbidden. Person B was allowed to purchase the slave. He stole him. He was guilty of a crime. He had to repay person A the dollar value of the human being that he had stolen. This was how a civilized society operated. Now, that's not to imply that the social contract was fixed and unchangeable. There were thousands of different contracts. Some put power in the hands of one man, others in the hands of thousands of men. Was usually men, though. That part didn't change a whole lot. Each contract itself was subject to constant change and revision. A society that failed to periodically amend outdated provisions regarding how to dress or how much to subjugate women and minorities could find itself the laughingstock of diplomatic functions, unless it happened to be strategically situated atop vast reserves of natural resources. The social contract could be administered in a variety of ways, including law, custom, and etiquette. Violators of the code could receive anything from a dirty look from a maitre d' to death by lethal injection. The mark of a good maitre d' was that he could make the two seem equivalent. On the other hand, those who went out of their way to serve society would often receive a certificate of commendation. But reinforcement, both positive and negative, was not the only way society enforced its social contract, which brings us to war. War was the ultimate contract enforcer, a way of determining, by purely physical means, which party was morally correct. Untold hundreds of millions of us died in wartime, approximately half as heroic martyrs and half as dishonorable villains. But they did not die in vain. Through war, we arrived at definitive answers to questions at the very heart of our existence, from which is the one true religion to which European power gets to kill the Zulus? Answers: pantheism, Judaism, Roman paganism, Christianity, Islam, Christianity again, Catholicism, Nazism, and then finally democracy and the Dutch. We begin our examination of society with a look at its most primitive and thus worst incarnation.